Okay, welcome back, everybody. Sorry for the delay. We're going to go straight ahead with Mike, who's going to talk about liberating Jewish. Yeah, that's a nice way to carry on my license debate. Mike is Generation One, so, and he's been involved in GIS, or he doesn't even call it GIS. That is how beta he is. He's GFIS.
We used to call it geofacilities, yeah.
Geofacilities, so it's like proto GIS. I don't know.
Yeah, well, this is back in the days when we ran four guys running off a mainframe. You're talking about $1 million a seat, that sort of thing. But that's in the early 1980s.
So after that, he's gone to other stuff, and he now runs his own software house. Since retiring, he's become infuriated with the OS when his daughter, who works for an environmental charity, tried to get some data from them, had to pay millions of pounds to get it. It's a familiar story, right?
That's right, yeah.
So here we go. Mike Calder right. Talking about liberating GIS from the OS.
Okay, yeah, so we've covered most of that sort of stuff already. Talking about the license thing, which was the panel discussion just a little bit earlier, it would all be so much simpler if the Ordnance Survey was public domain, and then none of us would have to worry about any of this stuff. So basically, that's where I am. I see the essentially the licensing of Ordnance Survey data, which we've paid for with our taxes here in the UK. The rest of you people who live in civilized countries where your geographical base is public domain, such as the States and every other civilized country that I know of, you can shut your ears now. But here in the UK, we have to pay through it, pay for everything twice. It's a drag on industry, it's a drag on charities, it's a drag on education and individuals. So I see that very much as a problem. Now, you people have for the past 3 years been working on one solution to that, which is the OpenStreetMap, the OpenStreetMap project. What I'm working on is something which is perhaps complementary, which might be a way of adding a fair bit of value to the OSM database, and the stuff which you're doing, which is getting the modern data of where the built-up areas and where the streets are, is very complementary to what I'm doing, where I see the solution, or where I saw the solution, was starting from a base of out of copyright maps. And if we got a complete set of, in this case the UK, again I stress I'm talking purely about the UK, a complete set of UK maps, scan, rectify and tile them, vectorize those, change those into vector representations instead of raster representations, do a bit of manual correction, add the modern data, then we can forget about the Ordnance Survey. And I put Creative Commons there. After listening to the panel debate this afternoon, I guess your life's too short to argue about this. Guys, let's make it public domain. I don't have that much. Unlike you, I don't have I don't have teens of years to worry about that sort of thing. Okay, the sort of maps I'm talking about, I've now got a complete set of the 1 inch to 1 mile of the UK, Scotland, England and Wales. Those of you who've touched on the NPE map site, most of the Scottish maps you'll see are ones which I've scanned in. So the scanning is zero problem. We can get that. Those maps are out of copyright. They contain an awful lot of data. The base geography of the United Kingdom has not changed in the last 50 years. Okay, bits and pieces have been changed here. Rivers have been recanalized. The roads are all different. The built-up areas are all different, but that's what OSM can handle. So if we can get the rest of it, which is the contour data, the rivers, the woods, the churches, the tumuli, all the odds and pieces of things which people are interested in, then we can do an awful lot with that. So where we are, we've got a complete set of out-of-copyright maps in reasonably good condition. Scanning, rectifying and tiling, I say that's complete. It's certainly complete for Scotland. The scanning is certainly complete for the rest of the UK. I might want to do a little bit of rectification work on some of the English maps that we have. The prime bit where I'm concentrating at the moment is writing the code to do the vectorization and codification of that raster data, turning that data into a proper computer vector model. The aim is to do that as automatically as possible, hoping to get something like 85, 90, 95% of the data which is on those paper maps into a proper representation without manual input. Then people can, if they need 100% in any particular area, then they can then compare the raster tile with the vector map and do a little bit of manual editing to bring it up to total correctness. Add the modern data, and then we'll have a complete database. So those are my objectives. That's pretty well what I've talked about. Aiming to get a sort of accuracy we were talking about this morning to within 10 meters, and that is doable, and aiming to get better than 90% of the recognition automatic. I've split the process into two, which I now want to talk to you a little bit about the two processes and how we go about that. The first process is scanning, and this is relatively easy and straightforward. We start off with base maps that look a little bit like that. And in the 50 years or so since that map has been published, the paper has gone brown, various liquids have been poured upon it, it has been folded, bent, spindled and mutilated, the pins have been put in, all sorts of things in different places. So you've got to do a little bit of cleaning up. Again, the aim is to do as little manual manipulation as possible. All of the things we're doing on the scanning stuff and all the image rectification we're doing is I've actually done using standard software, using the GIMP under Linux. The first thing to do is do white balance correction to get rid of the foxing of the paper, to get rid of the discoloration that's happened over the last 50 years or so. Then you do a little bit of sharpening and playing around, and you're starting to get a map which you can do some things with. Fortunately, all of the maps we're talking about have got these nice little dotted lines here, which are the national grid. So we can line it up and do registration on that. I see somebody smiling. He knows he's seen one of my foils later on. Right, the vectorization problem is where it gets interesting. This is where the story really starts. We load the,
Before you continue from the scanning part, you use different frequencies when you look at the maps to find out where the different missed features on the map are?
We might come on to that later, but initially we're doing this, because we're dealing with a map which has got the whole set over the whole country is at that fixed scale. What we want to do is to get a scan which is good enough to give us a clear representation of the features and not so big that we've got colossal raster images to play around with. We're not going to start playing about with scanning those at different resolutions because we've got a tear here and so on. That sort of thing we're going to leave for the manual clear-up later on, which may involve scanning at different resolutions. These scans we're talking about 300 pixels to the inch, which is good enough for the sort of purposes we're talking about. If it's any higher resolution, then you don't get any better precision on the scan. All you get is a thicker line with more pixels in the line. You don't get any significant advantage. Sorry, yeah?
Did you buy?
Yes, I bought them all, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you couldn't find them in the library and use them there?
Libraries are a little bit iffy about you playing around, taking all of their maps away and
bringing a scanner in,
whatever. I mean, hey, I'm a Sorry? These are folded, yeah. Yeah. And yes, that does occasionally cause some problems, but at least we do have a complete set. You will very quickly realize that I am a pragmatic person. I go for a practical solution quickly rather than going for a perfect solution with 100% formalism, 10 years down the line.
The documentation of this process is very important because we have to apply this to all the other countries in Europe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, the first two steps here, because the software then will be the same.
The software will be the same. You might have to customize it a little bit for different styles of maps. You'll certainly have to use different color profiles. Right, okay. I have no experience. I did not want to get involved in that kind of thing. Right, okay. Yeah, this is easy stuff. It's a simple matter of programming. So that's all you have to do. If you do Google searches for about 3 or 4 days, you'll find probably about 2 or 3, perhaps anything up to 6 different programs which will do vectorization of images. Some of them are very good for what they intend to do, which is primarily take monochrome images in a raster format and turn them into a vector format so you can use them in Inkscape or something like that. Going back to the 1980s when we were starting this, one of the biggest problems was getting the base maps for the GFIS systems. And that was when we had rooms full of ladies at huge digitizing tablets, with the maps pinned to them and clicking away. We did try finding code to do that process, and there was no good stuff around then. And from what I can see, there is no good stuff around today. There may be some commercial offerings which might be able to do the sort of things we're talking about here, but certainly they're very expensive, and I certainly have no intention of paying the money for them. So I'd rather spend a year writing code than spend £500 on paying somebody else to for a license to a piece of code I can't have the source code to. Yeah. I am pragmatic and bloody-minded.
How much did all the maps cost?
The maps cost probably about £4,000. The Scottish maps were expensive because they're highly collectible items on eBay. God, don't get me started on eBay. I hope to kill the market value, yeah. Right. Okay, can I talk about the vectorization process? Okay, first of all, what have we got? We split the scan of the map up into basically 10 kilometer squares, because that's a sensible unit to work with. Obviously, a map that you get isn't composed of 10 kilometer squares. You end up with a few rectangular bits around the side as well. Actually, lots of them, and some diamond-shaped, triangular-shaped pieces as well, because they publish them at an angle to the national grid. Why, I don't know, but they are. But essentially, you divide it up into tiles. And the first thing to do with these tiles is, because the code which we write to do the vectorization typically best works on a monochrome bitmap or image, you do a color filtering to take the images out. So if you do a filtering on blue, you get all of the rivers and the sea and the lakes and things like that. If you go a green color filter, you get all the woods and so on. It makes the problem simpler, and you can just do one set of features at a time until you come to black, which with the maps that we're talking about, something like 50 to 60% of all the features are printed in black. So, but we'll come to that one. First stage then is color filtering. We then take that filtered image, extract the individual features, the individual groups of pixels that there are in that image, and then we recognize them. At this point, I start waving my hands because that's quite complicated stuff. We then convert those pixel groups into vectors and write them out. It's easy. So let's take these processes in sequence. Here, for example, we've taken the 10-kilometer square, which is my standard test map. Register it at the four corners, and that throws you a grid. So now, what we have got is, for every kilometer square, we now know the national grid reference of each of those four corners, and we can recognize every point within that square, and we register the recognized vectors to those points. Very nice, very simple. That's the only human input you need to this process for the vectorization to go ahead for that map square. Except registration isn't that nice, because typically these maps have warped over the time. Maybe they weren't even printed properly in the first place. There was a certain amount of creep of the paper. The paper's been folded, it's stretched. What was a square is now a parallelogram with diverging sides and all the rest of it. So even though you've been absolutely spot on to the pixel in the corners here, you'll see, those of you at the front will certainly see that the dotted line here is off to the side of the grid that we've imposed upon it. So the first thing that we've got to do in the registration process is recognize these dotted black lines going all the way across the image, find out where they cross, and then individually move all of the registration corners to the crossing points of the dotted black lines. That's currently what I'm working on. Can recognize the dotted lines, can find the crossing points. There's a couple of bugs in the moving the registration points at the moment, because it's something to do with Java having zero at the top instead of the bottom, and I can't get my head around that. So somewhere in that code, there is somewhere in the code that I've got, there's a zero at the bottom instead of zero at the top. So I'm moving it the wrong way. But honest, I'll fix that within the next 2 days. Color filtering is a very simple problem. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. But you think, looking at that, that it is reasonably straightforward. Lovely main roads in a nice bright red. Orange roads for secondary, blue for streams, brown, a lovely brown color for the contours. Nice bright green for the wooded areas and blue for the sea. Unfortunately, when you start looking in detail at the maps, you find that what appeared to be a nice flat color is not a nice flat color. And when you start looking at what appeared to be a nice red line, it is actually orange, brown, black, green. When you look at the nice brown lines which cross through here, here they're green, there they're brown, here they're blue. And because you want to use a sensible color model, we use something called hue, saturation, brightness, instead of worrying about the proportions of red, green, and cyan or whatever. When you actually look at these squares, or these pixels over here, you'll find although they look fairly white, that one might be green, that one might be blue, that one might be yellow. They just won't have a very high saturation, so they're very pale, pastel colors. And they're very high brightness, low saturation, but a particular color. So if you just do a color filtering and say, give me all the blue pixels, what you do is you get these, you get those up there, which are the rivers, you get a lot of these around here, which appear to be something else. If you ask for all the blue ones, for all the brown ones, you get all sorts of stuff. So it is actually not as simple as it seems, and I have had to write. It's taken me something like about 3 months to finally get a hang of how to do the thing properly. But some are quite easy to do. The reds, for example, the main roads, we can get very sensible features out very quickly. The brown is an absolute pig. And so things like the blue are betwixt and between. But something like that we can work on quite easily. And with the recognition software, we can very soon come up with the coastlines, recognize that that's sea, recognize that we have a lake here, and recognize that these are rivers with some kind of contiguous line. The actual recognition is something I don't really want to get into. It's not appropriate for this level of talk, but if you want to talk offline with me about line thinning algorithms and all that sort of stuff, great, yeah. You'll have to buy me beer. But we can go into that. But essentially, we apply a whole load of mathematical operators and algorithms to these groups of pixels, and recognize this particular group of pixels as a river or the boundary of a wood or whatever, and then put that out as a vector model with a feature code on it that says this is a wood, this is a river, this is a main road. Or at least we would. I'm only halfway through all this process, you understand. This is work in process. But where this is the sort of thing we're getting, and the first two I concentrated on were as examples of the different kinds of job we had to do. So the first one I did was recognizing areas of woodland, and again, this doesn't show up particularly well, but there's a bright green, which is the outline of the woodland, and that is just a fill color, the dark green there. What that is not a pixel representation, that is a vector representation. So we have here, these are a mathematical model of the line which is surrounding that wood. So essentially we've cracked that problem for the recognition of, recognition of polygons. And similarly for the main roads. There are splits in the roads where there are gaps in the images. And my line thinning algorithm could do with a little bit of work because it's a bit wiggly there. But that where you see wiggles, the thickness of the road is encompasses those wiggles. So it's something we can clean up with a bit of processing. Right. So that's the sort of thing we've got. So being able to do those sorts of things means we can do all of the area features, like the seas and the lakes and the woods. We can do all the line features, like the roads, rivers, and what have you. Because I know I can do dotted lines and pect lines, because I've done that for the registration, we can do all the other line features that we get on the maps. That leaves us just the point features and the text. The text I'm going to handle by ignoring it. Essentially, what again we'll do during the recognition process is recognize that this is some text, and we'll then hand off that block of pixels to a standard OCR program like OCRAD or Gocha and get the text back from it. So where we are at the moment is that we can recognize those polygon outlines, we can recognize linear features. We need to do some additional work on cleaning up and post-processing. We're doing the work on the dotted and pecked lines. We can do that with straight ones, curved ones we're in process, and we've got a couple of bugs in the software so far. There will always be bugs. So for the future, what we're seeing is that there's no insuperable problems that we have got now. We now know, or I now know, that we can hack this problem and probably hack it within this year. And I've already talked about that. Accuracy, we can get to single pixel accuracy. So registration will be to a single pixel. Accuracy will be with a maximum of single pixel. That means the maximum inaccuracy we're going to get is 2 pixels, which at 300 dots per inch is going to be something like a 10 meter accuracy, a maximum error of around about 10 meters, assuming that the original map was accurate in the first place. But you've got to do that, haven't you? Assuming I don't fall under a bus, and assuming that my wife allows me to carry on working on this, I expect to have finished the software within by the end of this year, certainly. We should certainly get the first 10 kilometer squares producing sensible data, probably middle of autumn. To give you some idea of the scale of the problem, there's something like 2,000, 2,500 10-kilometer squares that we have to process through this. My guess is that we're probably going to take something like 10 minutes to 15 minutes computer time per square on the recognition, which says you're not going to sit down and do the whole UK in a night, but it's doable in a man-month of computer time. And we'll produce something like a terabyte of data. And the original source maps are, again, of the order of a terabyte. So I'm looking for a server with 2 terabytes of of capacity. If you want to contact me at any time, that's my email address. My website, guillemotdesign.org, that's my company. That's the commercial comes in here. That website also contains exciting artwork because I'm a painter as well. And any sales will assist in funding the project. Tell your rich friends. So we're looking for a home for the eventual database. Also looking for input from people to talk about the sort of database structure we're going to store this data in. I obviously have some ideas of my own, but those ideas are very fluid at this stage. I mean, we're just talking about vectors at the initial stage. That's all I've got to say. Questions?
Thanks for that, Mike. We are running really short on time, so I'm just going to allow one question. I'm going to open my eyes and just guess one person.
Is your source code GPL?
The source code at the source code is at the moment private. What? No. I will make the source code available under GPL when it's finished and when I'm happy with the quality of the code. But at the moment, it's too early in beta to show because I'd be ashamed of it.
Any more questions? Grab Mike later on in the pub.
Yeah. Thank you.